Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 7, and we're going to begin to consider another one of those amazing people, one of the great fathers of faith, and that is Joseph. So we go to Deacon Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7. And what a sermon, what a powerful sermon we have here from Stephen. Acts chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse number 9. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. Now famine came over all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction with it, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. On the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family was disclosed to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, and all his relatives to come to him, 75 persons in all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of those who have gone before us, who have lived by faith and who have trusted the promises of God. We thank you for the example, both good and bad, in their lives. We thank you, Lord, as we consider Joseph tonight. We think about his life. We think about how you used him greatly in the nation of Israel as Israel found herself in Egypt. So, Lord, we pray there are so many lessons here for us, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight. And, Lord, we pray that you might help us to have clear understanding of what you want to say to us as we live in 2018 here in the United States of America, and what you seek for us to do in telling other people about Jesus and living for Jesus every day. We thank you for the privilege we have of fellowship in Jesus and fellowship around the Word. So help us tonight to understand what you have for us each individually so that we might live this week for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'd like for you to also, just so you'll have the reference ready, I'd like for you to take your copy of God's Word, keep yourself in Acts 7, and find Genesis 39. Genesis 39 will be very helpful to you in the little while ahead here. Because I'll be referring to the story of Joseph from Genesis 39. I want to call your attention to verse 9, and my focus will be the last part of verse number 9 in Acts 7. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. And the last phrase is the phrase that I want to spend time on tonight. Yet God was with him. Yet God was with him. So we find Joseph, this young man, caught in family jealousy. Anybody here in the house ever been in a family with jealousy? Don't raise your hand. But it's real. It's hurtful. It's painful. And so Joseph, whether it was his fault, his father's fault, whoever's fault, we read these good words of Stephen. The patriarchs became jealous of their younger son. All of these who were the promised patriarchs, the ones from whom Israel's tribes came, all of these wonderful, wonderful people became jealous of a 17-year-old boy. What jealousy does in the life of people, what jealousy does in the life of a family, we know that Tonight, we have the opportunity to think about this phrase, yet God was with him. I want you to consider how God was with Joseph. I want you to think about it from the biblical story, and then I want us to think about how God is with us through the Lord Jesus. God was with Joseph, but Jesus is with us. That's what I want you to think about with me tonight. So I want you to see, first of all, that God was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery. Again, go to chapter 7, verse 9. The patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. Now, if you'll take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 37, I'd like you to go there first of all, Genesis 37. We'll read just a few verses so that we might refresh our minds about the life of Joseph. In Genesis 37, 18, excuse me, in verse number 3, I want to read verse number, let's go to 37, 2, first of all. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. While he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Family jealousy. And then we read in Genesis 37, 18, when they saw him from a distance, that is, when the brothers saw Joseph from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. But then we find that the brothers talked, there was reasoning, and they put him down in a pit. Reuben, verse 29, returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he tore his garments. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered a male goat, dipped the tunic in the blood, and they sent the very colored tunic and brought it to their father and said, "We found this, please examine it." He said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "Surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of his bodyguard. Yet God was with him. Yet God was with him when he was sold away to strangers who spoke a strange language with strange cultures, brutal, while he wore shackles and lived as a slave, God was with him. God was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery. We read in chapter 39, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Now we read it in Genesis. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. The Lord was with Joseph. the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph may not even have known how much the Lord was with him. It's the same thing that happens in our lives. He was caught up in all the circumstances, and these were distracting circumstances. They were dangerous situations. What's a 17-year-old boy to do when he's hauled off as a slave, put in shackles, carried to a foreign country where he doesn't even know the language, separated from his father, separated from his brothers? Brothers might have treated him bad, but it was the only brothers he knew. Now, no longer in a field, taking care of sheep, now he's a slave. He's a slave in Egypt, a long way from his parents and his brothers. But God was with him. God was with him. God was with Joseph, secondly, we learn from Stephen, and he saved him from his afflictions. If you'll read back in Acts chapter 7, yet God was with him, and number two, he rescued him from all his afflictions. So Joseph experienced the salvation God had for him. He didn't save him from Egypt, he saved him in Egypt, which is very important. He saved him in Egypt. He saved him while he was there in slavery. God was with Joseph and saved him from his afflictions. His afflictions had been great. His troubles had been hard. What troubles this young 17-year-old, this teenager, was going through? This teenager struggling with such great afflictions, rejection of his brothers, their jealousy, and the separation he now experienced from his loving father. Whether his father was right or wrong, as I said before, doesn't matter. He was loved by his father. Now he's separated from all those who love him. And yet God was with him and saved him from all his afflictions. Then Stephen goes on to say, yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions. And third, God was with him and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. So, those of you who come on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about Daniel and all these powerful leaders of the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire. But Pharaoh, the land of Egypt, the powerful Pharaoh, those that were the conquerors, world conquerors of the day, those who had their culture. And now we talk about Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And what does God do? God is with Joseph, a 17-year-old boy. Remember, get this in your mind. It starts with his officer, Potiphar, as we just read. And I want you to go back now to Genesis 39 and let's look at this story of how God was with Joseph and granted him favor. We read in Genesis 39:3, now his master saw. Now this is interesting. God was with Joseph, but guess what? Somebody else saw that God was with Joseph. Joseph didn't go around telling people, God's with me. This pagan Egyptian saw in Joseph something different. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Whatever Joseph did, he prospered. So we see, as we read, Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, this is such a great word, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. God's people are a blessing to unbelievers. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him, there he did not concern himself with anything except having dinner with the food he ate. So God was with Joseph and granted him favor and wisdom. He was also, as we read in Stephen's words, God was with him. He rescued him from all his afflictions. He granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. Well, we read on that Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph improperly. Joseph is thrown into prison. And then Joseph interprets the dreams in prison. Finally, Pharaoh is having a dream, and Joseph is the one who interprets the dream. And then we read, beginning in chapter 41, verse 38, then Pharaoh said to his servants, now this is Pharaoh. He could call any person in the empire, in the kingdom, to his service. The smartest, the brightest of all. Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? Pharaoh saw something different in Joseph. Potiphar saw something different in Joseph. When God is with the believer, the world ought to see the difference. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Now, may I read again what Stephen said? Yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions, granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Pharaoh recognizes his great wisdom. You shall be over my house, verse 40. This is Genesis 41. And according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. What an astounding statement made by this powerful ruler, Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Because God was with him. God was with him when he was thrown in a pit. God was with him when he was shackled and put in slavery. God was with him when he was sold to Potiphar. God was with him when he ended up back in prison, falsely accused. God was with him as he spoke and made clear to Pharaoh his dream. And God was with him and honored him and made him governor over all Egypt and his household. God was with Joseph. But Jesus is with us. It's great to study about Joseph and to think about his life and the example of his life and how he lived. But it's greater for us to go to these famous words that we have from Jesus, and I'll just read them to you. Most I'm looking around. This is a knowledgeable crowd tonight, an intimidating crowd to speak to. They know a lot. The people in this room know a lot. I got to really make sure I got my act together when I'm up here talking in front of all these knowledgeable people. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always. God was with Joseph. Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. It's interesting that he would say, I am with you, while he's talking about going and telling and making disciples, just what we're talking about on Sunday mornings. As you go and make disciples, you baptize them in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit. You teach them to observe all I've commanded you. I am with you always. To the end of this age and the age to come, I am with you. Jesus is with us. He's with all of his people. The Lord is with all of his people. He is with us as we go and tell. He is with us regardless of our troubles. And some of us tonight have lots of heavy burdens on our hearts and minds. It's not generally any one day we come together in this place, there's not been some sadness or some pain or some struggle or some difficulty faced by our people and the families of our people. But I must remind you tonight, whatever you face, Jesus is with you if you're a believer. Jesus is with you. Maybe you should tell your neighbor, Jesus is with you. Go ahead. Come on, encourage one another. You got to do better than that. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is with you. Yes. Joseph didn't always recognize it. You may not understand why he's allowing you to go through what you're going through. You'd love to trade with somebody else, but you might just be trading one trouble for another. Did you know that? Lots of people say, well, you know, if I just had that. No, don't start that. You know what happens. If I could just be over there. No, you don't know what's over there. You think you know what's over there. But the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You matter to God in all the circumstances of life, and Jesus is with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll be finishing with this, in Hebrews chapter 13, we read in verse number 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
So let's say these words. Let me say them and you repeat them after me. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? If God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So during this invitation time, perhaps you're here tonight and you need to make some kind of personal decision. You need to come to know the Lord. You see, the Lord is with you. The Lord comes close to us as His children. He walks with us. He talks with us. He's with us. He lives. He sends the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. But perhaps you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus and you need to be saved and born again. We invite you to come. Step forward and say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. And you got to come stand up here by me. Come stand up here by me. And then we'll talk with you and help you come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and understand what it means. Anybody here need to come? Step forward and say, look, I need to follow Jesus. Is there anybody here who needs to join this church and belong to this place and you haven't ever done that? You need to do that. Then come stand up here by me. We'll wait for you. Anybody here?